Hey everyone, before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to give a little forewarning about it. Today's episode is like a 301 masterclass, limited edition, daredevil edition, hard on the Galer topic. And if you don't know what Galer is, which first of all, bless your heart, how are you doing? You must be doing well. If you go to the earlier episodes of this podcast, we talk all about the Galer theory, which is this very fun theory that Taylor Swift might have had some things with women in her past, and maybe that's what some of these songs about a hidden love that society would crush if they ever found out about it might be about. So Cam and I talk about this very fun Galer theory in this episode, that one of the women, allegedly from Taylor Swift's past, might have been this beautiful blonde British Victoria's Secret model named Lily Donaldson, who is in Taylor Swift's life a lot. Not a lot of people talk about it, but there's a lot of evidence for it, and a lot of things about her kind of line up with some of these songs. So we go into the theory of that, but I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who's coming into this episode blind. You might be new. You might have no idea that there is a theory that Taylor Swift is bisexual. You might want to check out the other Galer episodes first before you get into this, because we throw around terms like Galer, Kaler, which means Carly Kloss and Taylor Swift, Byler, which means Taylor Swift being bisexual, and I just feel so unwell saying all of this out loud. But you know what? You're about to witness it for an hour. So without further ado, everyone who is already aware of everything Galer, sit back, relax. We're going to be talking about the theory on Tilly, which is Taylor Swift and Lily Donaldson. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. We have got Cam, from what I will say, back again on the podcast, joining us for, I don't know, like a fourth or a fifth episode.
What do you think, Cam? Gosh, maybe. Yeah, maybe about that many.
I mean, you have been I did an interview with the floozy who's a student the other day, and she was talking about how she's a Galer. She found out about it through Fluently Forward, and then she started listening to What I Will Say. But I feel like most people probably met you when you came on to talk about Swiftgron, aka yeah, Taylor Swift and Diana Agron. And then we've done more Taylor deep dives. We also did one of my favorite episodes, ranking which mythological creatures we most want to have sex with.
That was a controversial one, but it holds a special place in my heart as well.
You know, I got a message from someone after I posted that out being like, Shannon, enough of your like QAnon right-wing conspiracy theories. And I was like, what? They were like, the episode you just dropped. And I was like, it's about mythological creatures and like which one we want to bang. And they were like, oh, sorry. I was like sleepy when I saw it and I thought it was something else. I was like, oh.
Wow. Yeah. I don't think QAnon has delved like, I mean, I could see them like dabbling in Bigfoot, you know, or the Loch Ness, but like Medusa, she's like a Greek character. So I don't know.
Yeah. Mermaids, fairies. I think we ended up saying, I think I wanted to fuck a demon and you wanted to fuck the Minotaur. So if anybody wants to check out that episode, I highly encourage it. Let us know who you want to bang. But today we are talking about mythological celebrity banging relationships. And this is one that I'm so excited to have you on for, because we have talked about Taylor Swift and Carly Kloss maybe being an item. Taylor Swift and Diana Agron maybe being an item. I once got tea that Taylor Swift and Cassie David hooked up. And then I also got tea once that Taylor Swift and Kaya Gerber kissed, which I know sounds insane, but both of these people are not like Galer people. They are just folks who are kind of in the celebrity world. So it really shocked me when I heard that. But we today are going to be talking about Taylor Swift and Lily Donaldson, which kind of takes us back to the days of Taylor Swift's squad when she was with all of those gorgeous, lanky models. And Lily Donaldson never really stood out to me. She was like a tall, skinny, blonde model that Taylor Swift was friends with. But when we get into all of this for the episode, Cam has put together a bunch of staggeringly strong evidence as to how Taylor Swift and Lily Donaldson could have been an item. So it's going to be a fascinating deep dive on this. So real quick, should we just talk about the general world of Galer theories?
Yeah. How are you feeling about Galer these days?
I feel like since I started podcasting about it, maybe like 2 years ago, Galer was awesome. And then Galer split into two factions where like half of the people who were Galers were very not chill about it. And then the other half were pretty chill. And it also coincided with like Galer theories have gotten so popular on TikTok that these massive publications like Rolling Stone, like all of these people have been talking about the theories of Taylor Swift being queer, maybe now, maybe in the past, maybe all over, who knows? And it just got a little bit too big and too noisy. And then we got to the point where Taylor was like semi-addressing the rumors, like in the 1989 prologue where she's like, I was being associated with so many men. So then I started to hang out with women because I was like, they couldn't possibly sexualize and spectacate on that, could they? But they did, and blah, blah, blah. And then a lot of people were like, death to Gaylor's, you speculating on her sexuality makes her uncomfortable. And once again, I just go back to the original Gaylor point, which is like, okay, maybe we think that her and Karlie Kloss hooked up because like it leads into some of the lyrics and there's some themes there. But some of you Swifties are arguing over who broke her hymen. Was it John Mayer or Jake Gyllenhaal? And like that's also speculating on her sexuality, but you only think it's wrong to do when it could be something that's queer, which I think is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you bring this up. I have an episode coming out next week called Gaylor 103, in which it's actually just me by myself, and I'm exploring why is some speculation, particularly surrounding Taylor, okay? And it's because she sort of got rich and famous, sort of begging us, like, who's this song about? Where's the Easter egg? And then it's just, you have all these people who sort of speak, queer people, people who are just familiar with the community, allies, whoever that's in the know, like, we have a language. And it could be the green carnation, which was like Oscar Wilde's symbol, or it could be like the upside down pink triangle, which dates back to like the Holocaust. It could be, a certain color handkerchief worn in a certain pocket, or it could just be the language in the closet. It doesn't mean I'm standing in a physical closet, right? There's a coded language there. And so the problem is you have this intersection of like Swifty speculation, which is, hey, you know, is the red scarf in All Too Well, is that her virginity and somehow that's okay? Or, hey, she's point blank in an interview said, I have never dated Zac Efron. And yet there's really popular theory that Come Back Be Here is about Zac Efron. So that's all okay. It's just kind of part of Taylor. And thank God she's well compensated for it. Like, I get the speculation's hard, but she is at least well compensated for it. But you have that Swifty language, that sort of Swifty speculation. Oh, red is Jake, blue and gold are Joe, right? And then you have the queer code, the sort of queer language. And when you speak both, it's really, really hard not to put it all together. And I think a lot of Gaylors go way too far. And I say that having a huge soft spot for Gaylorism in my heart, but I see people saying, sorry, but like psychotic things on Twitter about like her and Karlie Kloss still being together, or that all her boyfriends are big gay beards and she is a gold star lesbian. Like, to me, I'm like, that makes me roll my eyes so much. But I cannot blame people that sort of speak the queer language and speak Swiftyism for putting it all together and being like, okay, something's going on here. Like, I've heard Dress. I've heard Wonderland, you know?
Dude, I'm so with you. Like, and I don't know, like, there's some people online in the Gaylor space who Taylor could have a song, right, where it's like, we went on a date and I walked down the sidewalk, and then people will be like, Gaylor evidence on page 7 of Urban Dictionary, the phrase sidewalk means to go down on a woman. So that's probably what she's talking about. And it's like, guys, that's insane. That is insane. But also, like you said, she's made songs with lyrics like, hide in the closet, I don't want you like a best friend, I'm sorry, show me like any man best friend, you know, like the shape of your body is new, like all of these like very womanly, like just if you know, you know, type of situations. And then it also makes me think about other artists too. Like, I know Shawn Mendes has said, I personally think that he's bi, but he said that he's not gay. He said that. And in his song, what is it, where he's like looking, Lost in Japan, he's like looking at your timeline, seeing all the rainbows, something. I'm like, okay, rainbow, pride, rainbow, closet, pride, queer community. Like, there's just certain phrases that stick out. And you've said this before on your podcast, if Taylor Swift isn't queer and she isn't like alluding to that, she probably should have someone on her team keeping her from a lot of these different references that she keeps making. Like, I know Lavender Haze obviously was a big deal because to have a lavender marriage, like lavender queer themes, that just could have been something where, I don't know, she could have twisted it.
I think, couldn't she have come out with a different color? Like, you know, and the thing is, I think Lavender Haze is really her reflecting on the public's perception of her and Joe Alwyn, and maybe her even sort of rewriting history a little bit. Like, I don't think it's a queer song, but can I blame a gay person who has been led around by the nose by Taylor Swift of look for Easter eggs, look for hidden messages, look for clues, for saying lavender? That is a word that is like really heavily associated with queer history, fake marriages between like two people that are secretly queer. Or the phrase to
a chosen family. She does that in The One, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. Like, there's just all of these different phrases that, I don't know. Like, at one point, she probably will have the phrase gold star. And then she'll be like, oh, no, it's the gold string from Joe Alwyn made the shape of a gold star. And for anyone who doesn't know, a gold star lesbian is someone who's only been with women. And do you know what a platinum star is, by the way?
Yeah, it means it's a gay man who was delivered via cesarean section. So he's never, and he's only had sex with other men.
So no contact with a vagina whatsoever, ever in his life, which I just think is so funny. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm always going to be a gayler, although you and I consider ourselves biler because we think Taylor has dated men and women. But what can I say? Like, for as much as sometimes I see stuff online in the gayler community and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, we cannot be reading so far deeply into this stuff. Like, I, for example, you and I both believe she was with Joe Alwyn. Like, I would literally to a gun to my head, especially with some of the stuff that we know, but whatever. But also at the same time, I see those pictures of Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss on a road trip in Big Sur. And I go, oh, you got me right back there again with the kisses on cheeks and the holding hands. And like, I just loved that era. It was my favorite. I'm assuming Diana is your favorite Gaylor muse.
I would say so. Although I've really grown affectionate of Tilly as well, Lily. Because it reminds me a lot of her and Diana. She and Lily were very private together. You know, Kaylor, whatever you think about it, there certainly was like a PR aspect. They sure went on a lot of pap walks, and they sure sort of hawked a lot of Victoria's Secret and Sephora and Karlie's cookies being sold at Whole Foods, and there was a lot of that going on. And it's like, yeah, who knows what was going on behind closed doors, but like, I really fall in love with where Taylor's a little like a little secretive, a little private, you know? So you see that more with Diana and Lily.
Absolutely. And you and I are also Martin Johnson truthers. If anyone wants to listen to the episode, the Taylor Swift Awards that we did, I think we talked deeply about this theory. Also in the episode I did with Caroline Calloway, I think we talk about it, the theory that Martin Johnson from Boys Like Girls inspires a lot of the songs from kind of that Speak Now era, and Dear John could be Dear Martin Johnson. And that's just such a delightful theory, because we think that we know everything with Taylor Swift, especially because our fan base is so fanatical, but there's a lot of things we don't know, like how she dated Martin Johnson. And if you dig deep enough, that's on record. And this Lily Donaldson, it's all the sins, is going to line up. So let's dive a little bit into Tilly. When did you first hear of these rumors about Taylor Swift and Lily Donaldson maybe being an item?
So Tilly's interesting because in 2016, in the fall of 2016, which we're going to refer to as the Tilly Autumn, although this is when Joe shows up as well. And I do want to say, we're going to have some fun with this theory, but we're also going to be talking about like a lot of songs. And I'm like, I hear that they could definitely be about Joe too. So have that in your minds. Like, let's go down a little fanfic sort of fun area just for the sake of this episode, maybe.
Well, and also something too that's going to be interesting to pop up is that we said Lily Donaldson is this tall, skinny, white, blonde, British model. So a lot of her attributes, these blue eyes, this blonde hair, this British accent, both her and Joe have it, which is intriguing.
Yeah, they actually look quite a lot alike, and they have like a really similar background about like where they're from in London. And it's just kind of funny, you know, Lily's got these beautiful ocean blue eyes, dimples, blonde hair, perfect match for Joe, and is an angel in her own right. So let's talk about Lily. Let's kind of introduce her. First of all, if anyone wants to like get a quick, like just a smash like look at Lily, search Lily Donaldson Rihanna, because I think before Lily was ever involved with Taylor, she spent some quality time with Rihanna, and it is some great photos of them dancing up on each other and like having a blast. And like, Lily's just a cool girl.
It's not the picture. It's not how you would pose with your grandma, okay? It's sexual. The girls are close, they're touching each other, it's fantastic to look at. I'll probably post some photos on Instagram this week of Lily and Rihanna, but yeah, definitely look at that.
Yeah. So I first heard of Tilly when I got into Gaylor, like right away. We were sort of exploring things, and like the fandom, the way it was like, Kaylor, with a little bit of Diana. You know, it was like, we're talking about Carly and Taylor. A lot of people thought they were still together. Like, I would say maybe at least half or more of the fandom back in like 2020. And nobody really talked about Lily. People would send me messages about it. I was intrigued because I didn't really think Taylor was still with Carly. And then once I became a full Joe truther based on like some tea and then also based on her giving him writing credits on her music, I was like, she would not do that for a beard. I became like, okay, all this music's about Joe. However, then I made a friend, and this is the Tilly tea that we talk about. This used to kind of be exclusive to my Patreon, but we talk about it so much, I'm like, let's put it out there. So the Tilly tea came from a friend of the pod who is established in the LA entertainment scene, and she has always kept an ear to the ground for like Gaylor news and other like sapphic news. And she got in touch with somebody who worked on Rep Tour. And this person who worked on Rep Tour basically reported that Taylor had a blonde British model girlfriend during some of Rep Tour. And I also have other tea from another source that I trust quite a lot that Joe and Taylor were on and off during Rep Tour, which makes sense. He wasn't on much of the tour. The one show he went to, he looked miserable, or the couple shows he went to. So like, he's like drinking the whole time, you know? So this information that I got, I was like, well, we have to go deeper because I trusted this person. And Lily Donaldson, a blonde British model, traveled with Taylor for part of Rep Tour, in particular in like the Asia leg. And she was in Tokyo for a while when Taylor was there. And she's done some other traveling with Taylor. In fact, when Taylor went to Tokyo the year before to film the Endgame music video, Lily went with her. So like Tokyo seems to kind of be a thing for them. But
and I also find it interesting too that like she's spending all of this time with Taylor. They're traveling together. They're on the music video set together. But unlike Selena Gomez or Kelly Teller, they're not plastering each other all over Instagram. It's a secret friendship. I mean, it's not totally secret, but it's like a on the down low friendship.
Yeah. So they were very private. You know, Lily makes Taylor's Instagram a little bit, but, you know, certainly less than, you know, some of the squad girls. And it's funny because Lily, you brought Lily up and you brought up the squad. And it's like, yeah, Lily actually was around in like 2015, those years. She walked the stage for some of the Style. You know, Taylor would have friends come out on stage during the 1989 World Tour during Style. And Carly did that. A lot of the models did that. And she kind of, you know, she's going out to public events that Taylor's at and stuff, and that they are spending time together. But then, like, there's a little shift. And in fall of 2016, they start spending a lot more time together. But first, I'm wondering.
Well, do you think maybe that's because she didn't want her, like, a best friend, start off as friends, turn into something? I mean, like, there's just so many lyrics about we started off as friends and then we turned into something and it's nice to have a friend and I don't want you like a friend. Like, I just do. I'm always so intrigued by that because let's be honest, like, if a lot of these songs are about Joe, I don't think Joe and Taylor started off playing Scrabble and then he was just in her friend group, so they decided to become friends. Like, there's never been that ideology. And like, when it comes to Joe, she even said, like, is it in Mastermind or is it in Gorgeous where she's like, the first time I saw you, I knew I wanted your body. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mastermind. What's that song?
That's Mastermind. Yeah.
Yeah. Mastermind. It's like, the first time I saw you, I knew that like, I wanted your body. Like, it just seems like they weren't ever shooting the shit and going for walks in the park. Like, when they were together, they were, you know, romantic.
Yeah. And also like, a lot of the language from Dress, and we're going to talk about the song Dress because there's some fun connections to Lily, but a lot of the language of being, no one knows, they know nothing about us. And it's like, no, Taylor, like, Joe came along and I'm sure all your friends did know, like, yeah, I'm like sleeping with this guy. And maybe they were like friends with benefits, but people knew, you know?
I mean, if Taylor so much as, talk about the Zac Efron rumors, if Taylor so much looks at a guy or is pictured out to dinner with him, everybody's like, oh my God, they're fucking. So this notion of like, oh, no, everybody thinks that they, like, we are just friends. We could be out. Nobody knows that we're together. That's not ever going to be Taylor Swift and a man because everyone always thinks that she's dating all of these men. Today's episode is brought to you by Pear Eyewear, and you can wear it too. We wear, they wear, everybody wears Pear Eyewear. Ooh la la. If you are looking to switch up your look, Pair Eyewear has these base frames. They start at just $60, which includes your prescription. And they have a wide variety of different top frames that you can very easily, almost like magic, just snap on and snap off. So then that way, depending on whether you want to take a look from day to night, hello, my fellow millennials, or maybe you're getting your colors done and you're between a spring and a summer, you can just use your top frames, snap them on and off to personalize your look. And they also have fantastic sunglasses. I think I have like five pair eyewears of their sunglasses, and I love them. So visualize a fantastic new you with Pair Eyewear. You can go to paireyewear.com and use the code Shannon for 15% off of your first pair, and support the show by mentioning that Fluent Loom Forward sent you in your post-checkout survey. That is Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com with the code Shannon.
Yeah. In fact, you know, since we've got dress brought up, let's do dress. So it's down in the notes a little, but I'm just going to go through it for you. So we've got dress brought up. Let's talk about it, because this analysis is really fun. And you guys know, like with ships, I have a whole timeline that's six episodes long that is I've just finished doing on my pod. So if you guys want, like, they met this day and, you know, here's where they were on April 29th or whatever, that is in that series. But we're hitting highlights, so we're going to do some song like analysis. So obviously dress has sapphic undertones. Falling in love with your best friend. I don't want you like a best friend. Also, like, only bought this dress so you could take it off. Like, who's wearing the dress? You know, that's kind of a gay thing to do. Like,
I love when I saw that online, because every time I listened to the song, I was like, Taylor bought a dress just so she could take it off for someone. You know, like, look at me naked. Only bought this dress so you could take it off. Like, I, like, imagine her as, like, this big daddy, like, baller billionaire lesbian. I mean, she's not. I think she's bi, but whatever. Being like, oh, my God, I'm dating this beautiful Victoria's Secret model. I'm going to send her over lingerie and a dress, and I only bought it for her, so then that way she can take it off later. Like, that's just such a fun, sexy, badass way to look at that lyric. I don't want you like a best friend. Only bought this dress so you could take it off,
take it off. It's the best way to consume that lyric. And then also the language, as I just mentioned, everyone thinks that they know us, but they know nothing about, and like, let me not rage and just keep singing it because I love that song. But, you know, that they think that they know you. Well, like, that doesn't sound like Joe Alwyn to me, because like, he's a cishet white man and you're presumably cishet, you know, white Taylor. And it's like, they know what you guys are doing. Right? I mean, like, Joe, I'm sure, came along as like, this is like this guy I'm hanging out with. But like, friends know what's going on. But who, you know, they know nothing about us. Well, I could see that being, maybe they don't know, like, Taylor and Lily, or, you know, maybe Taylor and Carly. I mean, people like Carly for this song, but we're going to talk about why it fits better for Lily, in my opinion. But so let's talk about the lyric Golden Tattoo. There is an indentation in the shape of you. Made your mark on me, a golden tattoo. Now,
made your mark on me, a golden tattoo. All of the sides. Yeah, I just wanted to start.
I'm just like rage, like just insert it. Yeah. So a lot of Kaylers and, you know, typical Gaylers will attribute this to Carly and Taylor wearing little golden tattoo stickers at Drake's birthday party that fall. Mm-hmm. But I think what is more interesting is that Lily has a tattoo that is the word golden in Latin on her wrist. And that is her sister's name. It's Aurelia. And that means golden, literally translates to golden in Latin. So to me, that has always been like, no, it's an actual ink physical tattoo that says the word golden. That is a golden tattoo, you know?
A golden tattoo. And she literally has the tattoo that says golden. It's just like, it's right there. Like, it's just, it's incredible. It's such a good analysis.
Yeah. And then, so I've got a picture in this document, and you can see Taylor, she's wearing her Daddy Deadpool costume, because this is from Halloween of 2016. And she's got her and a couple other friends in a bathtub, and she's got a glass of wine in the bathtub, because I'm spilling wine in the bathtub.
I'm spilling wine in the bathtub. You kiss my face and we're both drunk. Everyone
thinks that they know us, but they know nothing about us. Now, I'm sure Taylor likes a glass of wine in the bathtub. You know, it doesn't have to be from this night. But it's worth noting that Lily was at the party this night where Taylor has wine in the bathtub with all her friends, where it's like you can see like everybody's clamoring into the bathtub to take a picture and like you slosh the glass over. It just like I can see it all happening. You know what I mean? And Joe was not at this party, nor was Carly. And Lily was at the party and she spent the night. She was seen leaving the next morning. And she also had like four different changes of clothes. Like she arrived in one outfit. She put on a different outfit. Then there's pictures of her with a new outfit on. And then the next day she's got an entirely new outfit on. So it's just like.
I have two gay explanations for that. Either
let's hear it.
She has her own dresser and she's keeping her clothes at Taylor's place because they're dating. Or she's wearing Taylor Swift's clothes. And I like both of the explanations.
Yeah. So it's just like. I don't know. I just love that we've actually got wine in the bathtub and the sapphic vibes of dress. Like, sure, that bridge, you know, is supposed to be all about meeting Joe, and maybe it is, but like, gosh, does it work for Lily too? Now, the thing about Reputation, and of course.
Well, can we also say real quick the bridge when she's like, what's it, flashback when you met me, your buzz cut and my hair bleached, blah, blah, blah. Taylor has such good, beautiful bridges. And like, I just think if she's writing the song, which is incredibly gay, and it's obviously about a woman who's her best friend. I mean, that's what I think. Of course, I would throw in some sort of bridge to be like, and by the way, your shaft is 6 inches, you know, just something to like take people off the trail. Your buzz cut and my hair bleached. Like, it's just not good writing. And I feel like every time Taylor does that, sometimes she throws in a few lyrics that aren't as poetic and beautiful because she's trying to get people either on the case or off the case. So we talked a couple weeks ago when Amphrodite came on to talk about Katy Perry, and we talked about Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, the song Bad Blood. Taylor has in it like, when you live like that, you live with ghosts. And I've just always thought like Bad Blood wasn't like the best writing that Taylor's done. It was like, you know, just a little bit, I don't know, rated like level one. And normally she's out crushing like 12 out of 10s. And Amphrodite was saying that the song Ghost is one that Katy Perry wrote about Russell Brand divorcing her and what it's like, and saying like you live with ghosts, and she just wrote the song Ghost about him. Ooh. I think it was more of a tie-in to say like, hey, Katy, this song is for you, or this song is about Katy Perry, when she could have written something, you know, so much more poetic, but instead she chose to go for the line that would represent the muse. So I could see her doing that for the bridge of Dress.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people think the bridge doesn't fit in with the rest of the song, and that it was sort of added in to, you know, bring this song around for Joe. And I have to ask you, so like, let's say you're Joe Alwyn and you and Taylor Swift are together, but you're breaking up sometimes, and maybe she's seeing other people, but like, you don't, maybe you don't know it. Maybe Taylor Swift doesn't want you to know that. Like, is it possible Taylor threw that bridge in there just for Joe to be like, no, babe, it is about you, not Lily twirling her hair. Like, don't worry while you're in London. Don't worry what I'm up to. You know what I mean? It could be anything. It doesn't even have to be for the masses. It could just be to, you know, that's an idea I play with sometimes. Like, what if the lyrics she writes are just, you know, very for individuals of like, no, don't worry about it. I'm totally not being gay with my friend right now. I'm totally committed to you. This song's about us. See, like it could be anything.
Yeah. And then it's interesting that she has other songs later that are kind of about infidelity, in a sense of like, well, you made me do it because like you stopped loving me, so I had to find love somewhere else, or I was driven to do this, and like this is just natural, blah, blah, blah. So I wonder if that was almost like, okay, now that we've been together for a while and you've allegedly maybe been a bit of a shitbag to me on and off, I'm okay saying that I have cheated, whereas in the past things are new, don't want to rock the boat, don't want you to know that maybe I was with a lady, allegedly. So who knows? Today's episode is brought to you by Cerebral. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both, in a safe and judgment-free space. I personally am so excited that we are living in the time where you can do therapy online and from the comfort of your own home. Back when I first started doing it, raw dogging therapy, it was just so different. I really like the flexibility, the way that you can kind of pick through go find someone way easier by doing it online who you are actually going to vibe and connect with, whether that be a therapist, prescriber, or both. So to get started on your path towards better mental health, Cerebral is giving our listeners 15% off their first month of online therapy, medication, or both. Get started at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code FLUENTLY to make 2024 your best year yet. That's Cerebral, Cerebral.com/podcast and use the code FLUENTLY. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. See site for details. I do think if we know anything about Taylor Swift, we know that she likes to rewrite history with like, I would marry you with paper rings. You're my lover. Just kidding. And I would never want to be a 1950s housewife. I hate that. And it's like, I love my privacy. Like, it's so amazing. Like, Joe, like living a normal life has taught me all of these things. And it's like, just kidding. I was in the basement for 6 years and now I'm out and I love a guy who loves to be on the front page with me. So like, we never really know how she's feeling. And I think that both in her public quotes and her lyrics, she just kind of rewrites history, which I mean, no shade. We all like to do that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty relatable. Like we all go through sort of phases where it's like, no, I've got my life figured out. This is who I am. And then check in with me 6 months later. I will be an entirely different person. So like, I'm not even hating on her for it. It's just that, yeah, she does do that. And, you know, one way she does that on the Reputation album is the anxiety in the album. And let me say about Reputation. So a lot of people love, like, Google Reputation is about Carly Kloss. There's a whole master dog. And it's like, okay, that's all well and good. Carly and Taylor are very close for a number of years. But what's interesting is the second Taylor starts writing Reputation, Carly Kloss leaves her life. So in the fall of 2016, Carly and Taylor basically stop being close friends. Now, they remain acquaintances for a while. They're still liking each other's posts on Instagram. Carly swings by the Reputation tour in 2018. But then there seems to be a real fallout in 2019, which you covered with your episode with Perez Hilton. But Taylor's writing all these love songs about falling in love with her best friend, and Carly's like gone. So while I know everybody loves like, oh, Reputation is about like Taylor and Carly falling in love in like 2014, that's not when the songs were written. So there's a lot more data to sort of back up like, where's Carly? Where is Taylor? Where's Lily? Also, the funny thing is like the second Lily shows up, Joe shows up too. So it kind of, it does, a lot of it does work for both of them, except for some of those sapphic undertones. But I think that's some things that people don't know. Like I did a 9-part episode, you know, a 9-part series on Taylor and every detail of every time they were ever together or referencing each other or doing anything. And also like, where was Taylor away from Carly? Where was Carly? Was she off with her husband at the time? Right. So a lot of people don't know just that while at when you're zoomed out, you're like, oh, these songs are about her best friend, Carly Kloss. They weren't best friends anymore when she started to write these songs. So that's kind of my piece on that.
Photo together during the Reputation tour, like it was very obvious that like it was just a photo to get people to stop talking about how they weren't as close anymore. Okay, this is also going to sound so insane, but I feel like I can just see chemistry sometimes in photos. And the photo that they took during Reputation Tour was very different than the photos that they were taking together when they were friends. Like, the vibe was just off. The vibe was different. And like you said, we don't know any of these people, right? Like, we're analyzing lyrics. We're analyzing different quotes, how everything lines up. But the amount of time that people spend with people, and I remember a lot of Gaylers, this was when they were kind of like, well, you know what? Maybe Joe Alwyn isn't a beard and he actually is her boyfriend, because when people looked at the flight logs and they were like, oh my God, they're literally spending all of this time together and it's not being photographed, but they're always together. The only reason would be that they're dating, you know, like you don't spend a bunch of time with someone and not get it photographed if they're just a beard. And like you did in this, that great, what did you say it was, 9-part on Kaler?
Yeah, 9-part series on Kaler.
Like they're not spending time together at the end. So it would be insane.
And it's not like, hey, okay, they could have been texting each other, or like, hey, okay, maybe they were having dinner privately once in a while. And that's all well and good, but it's just, we know who Taylor Swift is hanging out with. We have, like, we catch her out and, you know, we watch her flight. And it's like, we knew she moved to London in 2016. We just didn't know with who, but like, we knew she moved there. And we still kind of, was it with Joe or was it with Lily? Because right when Taylor moves to London, Joe's already living in London, but he spent some time in New York, but Lily was living in New York and moved to London at the same time that Taylor did. at the end of November in 2016, which I think that maybe that's an instance we should talk about. So this is about the Tilly autumn that ended in late November, Thanksgiving. So this is on the first page, but the first thing I want to talk about is this video, which, yeah, throw in an Instagram post. I've got a link to it here, but in which Lily is going to spend Thanksgiving with Taylor and her friends and family at Watch Hill, at her house in Watch Hill, Rhode Island, which is like the holiday house, the beach house. And Taylor personally, and this is still 2016, like this is post 1989 Taylor. She has a driver. She probably has a dozen. But Taylor personally picks Lily up in her little Toyota and goes to the airport to get her.
This image of Taylor Swift just like driving, you know, Lily is filming it from the passenger seat, maybe riding shotgun with her hair undone. Do I dare? And she's just filming Taylor, who kind of like looks over her shoulder, a little bit of a suggestive look, but whatever. Sometimes girls just like do that, you know? Anyway, and she's driving this like regular ass Toyota. And it's just so funny to see Taylor Swift doing like a normal thing. She's just wearing like a brown jacket. And I just feel like she's so private now that I turn into such a little fucking freak anytime I get a tiny detail of her. Like, I think, I talked about it with Christy. We did an episode over on Patreon about Kelly Teller, you know, Miles mm-hmm. Teller's wife and Taylor Swift's new sidekick or friend, whatever you want to say. And years ago, I think she was at the Reputation tour or something like that. And she took a picture backstage with Taylor Swift just of their feet. And she was like, oh, it was so great seeing her, being with her before she performed as she's drinking coffee and chatting, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, Taylor Swift used to drink coffee before she performs. Like, wow, how fascinating. Like when you don't get a lot of details about someone, it just like means so much. And even like in this video of the car, you can see that there's a little garage clicker pinned mm-hmm. to the visor. And I'm like, wow, she has a garage clicker. Like, it's so funny.
And I think the way I would describe Taylor in this video is handsome. She just, she yes. exudes like a little confidence, a little swagger. She looks very casual, but like, you know, she's to me, it's a smirk. And Lily mm-hmm. posted this to Snapchat with the phrase, like the caption, I guess, my Uber driver is so pretty. Mm-hmm. So, and then Taylor, she sort of reaches up and she fusses with her hair a little. And I'm like, okay, boyfriend. Okay, boyfriend material right there. Like, so very, you know, just a almost sultry moment in a way, but like in a masculine kind of way. That's how it's I'm gonna cute. Categorize that. Yeah. We got some other pictures from the weekend that they spent Thanksgiving at Taylor's beach house. Taylor at one point is getting a piggyback ride from Lily, and she actually posted to Instagram and she says, thankful for piggyback rides at Lily Donaldson. Another photo I love is when they're all of Taylor and her friends were like on the ground outside in a circle. But of course, Lily and Taylor are sitting next to each other. Their legs are touching and it is hard to see because of course it is. But mm-hmm. Lily's hair is sort of hanging down and you can't quite see, but it looks like Taylor has her arm wrapped around Lily's leg, sort of holding on to her.
It does. Yeah, it does. It's yeah. really, really cute.
Yeah. And then we also got a picture of the big Thanksgiving meal. And Lily, of course, is seated next to Taylor mm-hmm. on her left. And Andrea's on Taylor's right. So it's sort of like, wow, that's sort of the place of honor, Miss Donaldson. And of course, Joe is nowhere to be found in any of these pictures. I will say he could have been skulking in the shadows. Who's to say? Who's to know? But of course,
we also say every mm-hmm. seat at the table is filled.
Yeah. That's true. There's not another place.
Who do you think took it? The caterer? She probably had someone cooking.
Maybe the caterer, maybe a security. Maybe it was Joe. Who knows? I'm not saying he definitely wasn't there. I'm just saying we don't have evidence that he was there. But the lyric, I recall late November holding my breath. You don't have to save me, but would you run away with me? Now, of course, this is late November. And who's there? Joe's not. Carly Kloss isn't. But Miss Lily Donaldson is seated right next to her at Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to look at one thing.
These pictures, by the way, I'm so excited for everybody to see them on Instagram because it really is like, they're just so cute. And Lily Donaldson is so freaking pretty. It's absolutely ridiculous. I just love looking at pretty people together.
She's gorgeous. Okay, so another thing you should know about...
She's gorgeous.
No, I...
You can't say it. Anything to her face.
I didn't even mean to do that. So she is, and she's so fucking cool. Like, throw some pictures of her street style into your post because, like, oh my God, she's the coolest cool girl. But another thing you should know about Watch Hill, Rhode Island, is that it snows there somewhat frequently in the winter and fall. Now, I swear to God, when Snow on the Beach came out, somebody sent me a receipt on, look, it snowed that weekend. Today and yesterday, I was going through like, oh, what are we going to talk about with Shannon, reviewing notes. And I could not find that goddamn receipt. I found plenty of instances of like, yes, it snows, record-breaking snow. It snowed, it flurried in Watch Hill, Rhode Island. It does snow there. But I thought it snowed during that Tilly Thanksgiving. It may have, because I have a very strong memory of seeing like a receipt on it, but I couldn't find it. So,
well, I mean, they're on the grass and like the grass is dead and they're on the beach and they're both wearing hats. Taylor's got like a winter beanie on. So it definitely, it wasn't sunny. I'll say that.
Yeah. And also it should be noted that you can see the Aurora Borealis from this part of Rhode Island. It's not all the time, but obviously the Northern Lights, I searched for Aurora Borealis green. Now, a lot of people think that's like an eye color, that she's like, oh, I'm looking for your green eyes. Maybe. But like, it also could have been them standing on the beach as it snows, searching for the Aurora Borealis. So snow on the beach to me.
Layer two that you've talked about with snow on the beach maybe being about Lily is that there's that lyric in there of my flight was awful. Thanks for asking. I'm unglued. Thanks to you. And what pretty Uber driver picked up somebody from the airport? Taylor picked up Lily. Was her flight awful? Thanks for asking. Maybe that was her passive aggressively being, send me the jet, big mama. Come on.
Yeah, I can just see Lily in a British accent. You know, Taylor kicks her out. How was your flight? My flight was awful. Thanks for asking. You know, how are you? And Taylor's like, well, I'm unglued because this gorgeous girl's
thanks
in my car.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
So after this, Taylor runs away to London. Lily moves there from New York. Joe's already living there, but we know Taylor moved to London. And of course, Carly Kloss stays in New York City, as she should. That's fine. But Taylor kind of starts to hide away. There was another instance a few months later where Lily posted a video to Snapchat and you could hear a voice that sounded a lot like Taylor's in the background, to the point where like Swifties were noticing it. Like Swifties heard the voice and were like, it's Taylor. And somebody commented on one of Lily's Instagram posts, like, tell Taylor we miss her, because she was sort of in her exile at that point. And Lily liked the comment. So it's sort of like, maybe she's saying, yeah, I will tell her because she is with me. So kind of another little interesting moment.
Oh, definitely. I believe that. Today's episode is brought to you by Dipsy. Get frisky. Did you miss me? Clitoracy. Check out Dipsy. They are an app. They are full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories, and it's designed by women for women. This is an app that brings scenarios to life. They have these immersive soundscapes. I'm huge into soundscapes. I love them. These realistic characters, and you can just kind of pour through all these different stories, whether it's a second chance romance, an adventurous vacation fling. They also have a fantastic mythological fantasy area. You want a vampire? You want some fairy smut? Come and get it on Dipsy. They have new content that is also released every week, so you can always find something new to explore. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/fluently. That is 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/fluently. dipsystories.com/fluently.
Yeah. Now, Shannon, are you up for talking about like an extremely controversial topic?
Yeah, sure. Abortion.
I'm pro. But what do you know about the Victoria's Secret fashion, the Victoria's Secret angel ring?
Only stuff that I've heard from you, but what I believe I know from a basic level understanding is that there's a bunch of Victoria's Secret angels who one year were given a special ring to signify that like they were part of Victoria's Secret. And it was like this class of like gorgeous angels that got this ring jewelry, I believe.
Correct. So the Victoria's Secret angel ring is a little ring with wings on it. that was gifted to angels, not all models, as far as we know, but angels who walked the show in 2016. Now, Carly did not walk the show in 2016, and Taylor, of course, was not involved in the show in 2016 either. She had sang for it the 2 years previous, but, like, she wasn't part of it that year. And by the way, Lady Gaga, who was the musical guest for that year, she was not gifted a ring, as far as we know. She's never worn one anyway. But all the angels who walked the show were gifted this. And we've seen, like, Martha Hunt with hers, and, like, a lot of Taylor's friends are angels, right? And they've all been given rings, but they still all have them. But the crazy thing is Taylor has a ring, right? And she wears it a lot. She even still wears it to this day, but she wore it a lot during the rep era, like when she was promoting music. She wore it in the Delicate Vertical video. She wore it in different commercials. She wore it in almost all the making of the song videos that she did for Reputation. And it seems to be very special to her. And we like to theorize that it's from Lily. Now, again, a lot of people like to say it's a Victoria's Secret. It's got to go back to Karlie Kloss, but Karlie was not involved in the show that year, and so she wouldn't have been gifted one. Lily was. Lily did walk the show. Now, here's where it gets controversial. Lily is not technically an angel. So Victoria's Secret angel is like a level above, you know, a Victoria's Secret model. However, Lily was a special favorite of the directors of the fashion show or the brand, because she was given angel wings to wear many different shows, including a very special set of Swarovski crystal ones. So to me, I'm just like, do they really have a list of, like, angels and not that get these gifts? And I'm also like, Victoria's Secret, give every model a gift. You can afford it. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, it's first of all. But people freak out about this because they say, it can't be Lily's. She's not an angel. She's not an angel. And it's just like, okay, but she wore angel wings and she was, like, a friend of the brand and a favorite of the brand for a long time. She had been in many different shows throughout the years. And I can definitely see her, you know, getting this gift and then giving it to Taylor. Lily has never been seen wearing a ring. So if she did get one, she never wore it.
And she gave it to Taylor, duh.
Yeah. So I do kind of think it's a gift from Lily, and I don't even think that necessarily means they were fucking, but it just seems to be a very special thing to Taylor. And it's funny, she still wears it even after her friendship with Karlie Kloss is very publicly and, you know, kind of confirmed by Taylor's own friends and Taylor's own words on It's Time to Go, you know, confirmed her relationship with Karlie is soured. So she's still wearing it.
That relationship is over. And we know that today her relationship with Lily Donaldson, which Eras tour did she go to? Was it one of the ones in Brazil?
Argentina. She went.
Argentina. Yeah. Yes. So, like, as of a couple months ago, she's in good enough terms with Taylor Swift that her and her friend went to the Eras tour in Argentina. I think that they were in the VIP tent, which we know that Karlie didn't get allowed into or invited into. Who knows?
RIP.
So Taylor and Lily are definitely still on good terms, friendly terms to this day.
Yeah. And so I also think you could just make the argument. It's like, well, yeah, they were close and had a special friendship, but who says they were sleeping together? And, like, to that I say, well, like, I don't know, but that person who worked on Rep Tour seemed to think they were. But of course, that is, take it with a grain of salt. That is gossip. That is hearsay. But I just think I know it in my gut. I know it in my butt. That angel ring is from Lily, yeah, in my opinion.
Hell yeah. And you've also done this incredible insight into other jewelry that she was wearing, which I love using jewelry as Easter eggs. It's like the bougiest way to try and, like, hook someone in, basically. And you start talking about all of this snake jewelry that she started wearing, and it was ridiculous. It wasn't a snake stud from Claire's. It was, like, massively expensive snake jewelry that she started wearing.
Yeah, so Lily, in the summer of 2016, which, by the way, the snake thing, as far as I know, it was sort of popularized by Kim Kardashian during Snakegate, but apparently Calvin's fans were calling Taylor a snake for a little while during their very messy public breakup, that Calvin was, like, tweeting about how hurt he was, and, like, it was an absolute, he was, like, replying to Swifties on Instagram, and was like, sir, do you not have a publicist? Like, calm down. But around this time, Lily Donaldson, you know, a famous model, but she is just, you know, she's not even like Karlie Kloss. She's not a Tyra Banks. She's, I don't know a ton of models, but like, she's not like A-plus
list model. Listening to this episode have not, other than Taylor Swift, like her association with Taylor Swift, I haven't heard of Lily Donaldson. And granted, right. like I'm not in the modeling world, but you know, you hear of Giselle, you hear of Adriana Lima, like Lily Donaldson is not like that A-list model that everybody's talking about.
Right. But she starts showing up to different red carpets and different events wearing extremely expensive Bulgari snake jewelry. So these are these beautiful, bejeweled, you know, gemmed up, gorgeous
bejeweled.
Pieces. I know, right? Bejeweled. I'm not doing that on purpose. Taylor just has too many songs. They are these gorgeous, very expensive pieces. I think some of the pieces alone were like cost like $60,000 to $80,000, just one piece. Mm. And she's showing up wearing 3-4 pieces, bracelets, necklace, you know, pendants, bangle, I don't know, like everything. And of course.
And I'm assuming she's not like a doing some sort of snake jewelry modeling campaign for Bulgari.
As far as we know, this was not like gifted. This was not, you know, she's not posting to Instagram like gifted, like ad, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Spawn, maybe since she's British, they used to say that. But like, she is just showing up to red carpets. And it's like, yeah, maybe once or twice the brand like loaned her some pieces. She is a beautiful model, but it's like, she seems to own a lot of these pieces now. So someone is buying them for her. Now, girls like Lily Donaldson, they've got lines of people around the block, probably a lot of men that would love to buy her expensive jewelry. So I'm not saying the only person in the world it could have been was Taylor. But of course, snakes were being associated with Taylor during the rep era. And Lily wore snake Bulgari jewelry all through the rep era. So again, Lily never sort of has any professional connection that we know of with Bulgari. But you want to know like the freakiest little like Taylor moment in all of this.
Oh my God, wait, I think I know what you're about to say. Keep going.
Okay, so of course, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor are a couple that Taylor has, you know, drawn inspiration from. You know, he can be my jailer, Burton to this Taylor. And who could blame them? You know, Burton is a Brit, Elizabeth Taylor is America's princess. Like, you, I get it, you know, and people are crazy about them. But they were known, this couple, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, were known for giving each other Bulgari snake jewelry. And here Lily, this Brit, Lily Donaldson, shows up. The way I heard it was like Richard Burton would buy it for Elizabeth Taylor. And then she had this gorgeous collection of Bulgari jewelry, including like some Bulgari snake pieces that were gifted specifically from Richard Burton. But like, here we are, Miss Lily Donaldson showing up with, you know, the Burton to this Taylor snake jewelry on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a fun, and it's just like, could it be a coincidence? Sure. Has Taylor Swift trained me to know that it's not a coincidence? Also, yes, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And the fact also, too, I feel like maybe this is just me saying it because I don't like snakes. I really have a fear of them. But
oh, no.
Like, why would you be wearing, like, it's not a typical piece. Like, it's not like, I don't know. Snake jewelry, Taylor Swift wears it, and I know that it can look like a little bit sexy and cool, but I feel like most of these models aren't wearing animal represented jewelry. It's usually just like big gemstones or like a diamond tennis bracelet, something like that. It is interesting that, you know, the snake pieces start appearing at around this exact same time. Now,
You go. Well, so, and an interesting thing, one of the snake Bulgari jewelry pieces Taylor goes on to wear, that Lily has worn, Taylor wears in the Look What You Made Me Do music video. So.
Mm-hmm. Is it very, when she's in like the red dress on top of the throne?
Yes.
I love that music video. That's such a good music video.
Oh, it's my favorite music video she's ever done, for sure.
Today's episode is brought to you by Way. My hair is incredibly important to me, almost to a cripplingly high effect. If my hair looks good. I feel more confident. I actually go outside of my house because I want to show it off. And I just find myself being a little bit more social, staying out longer because I want to show off the do. So if you want to get on your way to good hair days in just 5 minutes, you can try their new hair gloss. It gives you immediate shine straight out of the shower. It smells incredible, and you can just put it on as you shave your legs, wash your pits, rub your pubes. Exactly what you do in the shower is up to you. There's also a bunch of other great whey products. They have a leave-in conditioner, a detox shampoo. I am super into them to get all that gunk out of your scalp, and a really nice hair oil. I love using that on the ends of my hair just to give them a little bounce bounce. So if you want to give your hair a glow up, you can do so with whey. Go to THEOUAI.com and use promo code FLUENTLY for 15% off any product. That is THEOUAI.com with the promo code FLUENTLY. I love this tie-in that you have as well. Everybody knows the song The Man, right? Her feminist anthem, I guess, where she's like, life would be different. If I was a man, I would be able to go so much farther. And I would be able to have so many more planes and so much more money if I was a man, which I've gotten in such deep shit about saying this on TikTok years ago. But I do find it interesting that whenever Taylor obviously is talking about feminism, it's like, here's how things would be different for me. Here's how I would be able to go so much farther. But then when you listen to Beyonce's songs about feminism, it's like, here's, if I was a man, I would be kinder. I would like lift more people up. Like I would do all of these things. Whereas Taylor's like, if I was a man, I would be able to singularly go so much farther versus like Beyonce's being like, everything would be so much better if like things were gentler. If I was a man, I wouldn't do these things. I just find that perspective interesting, but whatever. So Taylor's song, The Man, first of all, this was released, you have on here, as a single on Lily's birthday.
Yeah, so January 27th is Lily's birthday, and yes, Taylor released this song as a single on her birthday, and we actually have a whole list of Lily's birthday things that we might jump to here in a second, because Taylor keeps doing stuff on January 22nd, like with our January 27th without fail. But yes, and of course the lyric from The Man, I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez, accompanied by the music video with Taylor spraying champagne and, you know, surrounded by the bitches and models. Lily very famously attended Leo's, you know, notable famous Saint-Tropez parties in the summer of 2016, just before that Tilly autumn. So yeah, yes. We have receipts of like Lily is hanging out with Leo in Saint-Tropez, and Taylor's, you know, sitting here bringing it up, and it's just like, wow, that's a fun coincidence.
The analysis of that song, The Man, and it being about how if I, you know, I'm doing all of these things, but if I was a man, it would be being perceived different. She's not saying, if I was a man, I would hook up with bitches and models and get money. She's saying, I'm hooking up with bitches and models and getting money, but if I was a man, it would be okay. But because I'm a woman, it's not. It's just, you know, after you guys listen to this, go listen to Cam's 9-part Taylor episode. And then also, what was it, like a 4-part Lily Tilly episode, I think?
I have a 6-part Tilly series. And don't forget my 6-part Swift Grand series. So yeah, I'm normal.
Those series. And then go for a walk around the block, and then go listen to Dress under the illusion of only bought this dress so you yourself could take it off of your body. And then go listen to the song The Man, thinking about the analysis of, oh, Taylor's doing all of this stuff already. And it's like such a fun song to listen to that way. Should we cover some of the other birthday events?
Yeah. So the other things that have happened on Lily's birthday, we got the I Don't Want to Live Forever music video. We got the Lavender Haze music video. And so those are like direct releases. Like that's a, you know, that's a fact. There's a couple other little interesting moments. I don't know that I buy into these, but can I just shout out Tilly Nation on Tumblr did a lot of this analysis, and we worked together on some of it, but tillynation.tumblr.com. And she's also Tilly Nation on TikTok. Please go give her some love. She's incredible. And she is my Tilly expert, and maybe throw something about that in at the top. I forgot to say it, but so in the in-game music video, we know Tokyo very well may be a special city for Lily and Taylor. Lily accompanied Taylor there on the rep tour, and also when Taylor went to film the Tokyo scenes for in-game, Lily went along. But the Tokyo title card for when they switch cities, they're showing the name of the city on a title card in the music video. It pops up exactly at 1:27. So maybe that's of note, a little reach here. But then also in the song Renegade, everybody points out there's like this siren that randomly goes off in the song Renegade, and the siren starts at 1:27. So I don't know that I buy into those last two, but or any of them, but it exists, right? So there it is.
Now, what is your thinking? Like, I would imagine from, you know, good sourced gossip that you and I have both heard, that Taylor's with Lily in this like late November 2016, right? That was it. They're together. Maybe she gets back with Joe. Maybe they're on and off. Who knows? Then I think she ends up being fully with Joe. And then I would imagine her and Lily are friends today. You know, maybe not like super close, but at least friendly enough that she's going to the Eras tour. What's your theory in terms of how long this thing could have lasted, how and why it ended, and where they're at today?
So I actually think maybe in even the last 24 to 48 hours, I have changed my stance on this, because that's just how it goes as a gossip prognosticator, right? We can't know for sure. But I do think Taylor and Joe had an incredibly serious and tumultuous relationship. And I think we're going to learn a whole lot more about that in a couple months on the Tortured Poets Department. I'm really excited for that. But as far as Lily and Taylor go, I'm open. They really connect very closely in the fall of 2016 and remain somewhat, at least, if not rather close for about 2 years through Rep Tour. Lily sort of falls off the map at the very beginning or the very end of 2018 or very beginning of 2019. And I do think, okay, whatever it was, whether it was just Lily being, as we say over on my podcast, the priority one, you know, a star bestie, you know, Lily goes away. So at most, I would say about 2 years. I also think it's possible that, you know, I think Taylor sometimes maybe has like this priority one bestie that's kind of at her beck and call. And maybe, you know, they have a fluid kind of friendship, a fluid kind of relationship. I mean, she's Taylor fucking Swift. Is she, you know, if she wants some extra company, it's like, hell yeah, like, I'm down for that. Lily has certainly liked a lot of like Instagram posts and posted things that sort of associate herself with queerness, I should also say. So like, I think it's kind of reasonable to assume Lily is bisexual. Lily did end up, we're pretty sure, settling down with a billionaire named Al Shire in the recent years.
She's got a type, huh?
Yeah, and has maybe had a child with him. So I'm not denying any of that. I think that is fully legit. But like, you know, I also think it's possible that like Taylor got a little lonely on the Rep Tour and her best friend was around and maybe a few drinks were had, a little wine was spilled in the bathtub, and you know, who knows what happened. So like, I'm open to a lot. I'd love to hear, like, what do you think? Was Lily Taylor's girlfriend after hearing this, or was this more of a situationship or friends with benefits? What do you think?
Well, I am just so fascinated by this, because I feel like when people, even people who are big Swifties, think of people who have been, right, Taylor Swift's like A-string end game best friend, they usually think they'll be like Abigail, Selena Gomez, at one point Carly Kloss, Zoe Kravitz, Kelly Teller, Ice Spice. Like, those are usually the names that come up. But it's never Lily Donaldson. I don't know if a lot of Swifties even know who she is. And this is a woman who Taylor Swift's picking her up from the airport. They're having Thanksgiving together. She's traveling internationally with Taylor. But a lot of Swifties don't know the name Lily Donaldson, which just to me reads as something happening there. Like, why else would her and Taylor have so many of these like deep, important, shared memories and travel vacation trips together, but not a lot of people know who she is? Maybe because she was a girlfriend and like they didn't want her to know. So I don't think in my heart of hearts that they were like a girlfriend dating. I just like to think of Taylor Swift as a bisexual woman. And I feel like this is so common with bisexual women. Like, there's so much, it pisses me off so much. Like, dude, no shade to the bisexuals out there, I say, as someone who's like with you.
I was going to say, like, you're a bisexual. I don't know. No, I feel like
I am so many. I have so many hateable qualities. Like, I'm a Gemini. I'm like a bisexual woman. And like, I totally get the hate for all of it, because like, it is true, right? But I feel like there's so many bi women who will be like, oh my God, like, I'm into women. Like, I'm attracted to women. Like, I watch lesbian porn. But I could never take a woman out to dinner. Like, I could never hold her hand and like be her girlfriend. And it's always like, or like, I would never like go down on a woman. And it's like, okay, well, first of all, then like, knock it off. Like, it's a vagina. It's not that scary. Like, you'll like it down there anyway. It's tangent for another time. But I feel like Taylor Swift, I could see her being that type of person where she's like, oh, I'm with a girl, but you're not my girlfriend. Like, we're not together, but like, we're just best friends. And I happen to be attracted to you. And it's so rare because like, I'm not really bisexual, but like once every 5 years, I find myself very attracted to and having a special secret relationship where with my best friend, where we do everything together and we sleep together and we hook up together and we're possessive over each other, but you're not my girlfriend. Like, I don't know why, I just see that.
I think I've said this to you before, but I think I know it in my gut, I know it in my butt. I think that Taylor has your exact sexuality. And we've talked about how like you can have very intense, very strong feelings for women, but it just doesn't happen as much. Like, you could be in a room with like 1,000 men and 1,000 women. You're going to find like at least 50% of the guys hot, but like only 3 of the women. But those 3 women are going to fucking blow your mind and you'll be obsessed. But it's like you just have a preference for men. And based on things I've heard, based on my research that is like going on 4 years now into Taylor, it's so funny. Like, I started out as this gayler platform, but you and I are about to go cover Travis Kelce on my podcast because like the truth I have arrived at, the conclusion, let's say, I don't know the truth, but the conclusion I've arrived at is very much that Taylor Swift, allegedly, in my opinion, is bisexual with a huge preference for men. And I'm fine with that. Yeah. And I'm just like, I want the tea. I don't need any fandom theory, one fandom theory or one fandom ship or any of that to be happy. I mean, really what I want is for Taylor to be happy, but also my nosy ass, I just want to know the truth. And to me, that's like the truth I've arrived at anyway. So I do agree that like, and I'm not bisexual, so I'm not going to speak, you know, on behalf of that community or anything. But like, I hear you, and just being a queer person in queer spaces, just this energy from, you know, some bisexual people about sort of having a preference and maybe due to homophobia or like an internalized biphobia or who knows why, but like not being able to get all the way there when it comes to like trying to be with the same sex. And like, it is a thing that happens. And I also think that there's
a preference, and then there's also like a societal pull and push, and then also like an what's available to you type of situation. And I'm not even getting into the idea of like how hard it is to be gay in Hollywood, how that impacts your sales, your international sales, all of that. But I think that I remember reading this great blog piece from this woman named Zara Berry, and she's a lesbian, and she was saying like, even though I've known that I was gay since I was like 8 years old or something, I still find myself wanting men to desire me and like wanting them to think that I'm important, just because we live in this patriarchal society where like everyone tells you that like attention from a man is like such a valuable currency. And she's like, so even though I know I am gay as the day is long, like I find myself sometimes falling into that trap just because of the world that we live in. And a lot of things too are also like what's available to you. Like if I had cheap sushi that was good quality near me, I would like literally eat it every day. Like I love sushi, but I don't, so I eat it rarely. And I feel like if you are someone who's bisexual, let's just say like, I remember Cynthia Nixon, who plays Miranda from Sex and the City, she was saying, and I believe this, you know, mantra of hers where she's basically like, you're attracted to the people that who you're attracted to. And based on when you meet them in life, I feel like that impacts what your orientation is. So like if, let's say I've been like deeply obsessed with maybe like 6 women in my life, if I met all of them from middle school to college, I would probably be like, I'm absolutely a lesbian. But if I met all 6 of those women past the age of 40, I would probably think that I'm straight until the age of 40. So I almost think too, a lot of, orientation for a lot of people, because I believe so many people are fluid, is based on when you meet those people that like really spark and ignite that for you. So who knows, like maybe Taylor, I do think Taylor for the last like 6 years has had that sort of spark thing with Joe, Maddie, and Travis, but who's to say that maybe she meets a new best friend 2 years from now and things change for her.
I'm manifesting, you know, I'm keeping my eyes peeled. I'm keeping my eyes peeled on Zoe Kravitz, her little bisexual ass. I'm keeping my eyes peeled on Blake Lively. Who knows when she's going to divorce Ryan Reynolds? Okay. Like I'm watching.
I don't feel the vibes that like Kelly Teller, Zoe Kravitz, and Blake Lively. Like I'm not feeling the vibes with them. I feel it with Lily Donaldson. I felt it with Carly and Diana. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else. Like, I've never felt it with Selena Gomez or Gigi Hadid. No. Just, like, am such a woo-woo creep that I feel like if I see a picture of Taylor Swift with a woman, like, I can tell you if there's something going on. I can just feel it.
Yeah. Well, and I think we should probably just trust that instinct, because I'm with you. I'm looking for it, but I'm not seeing it with anyone. And I think right now Taylor is incredibly happy with Travis Kelce. And if that's what makes her happy, that makes me happy too. So yeah.
God, and I'm so excited. So we're going to jump off here. We're going to go over to Cam's to talk about Taylor and Travis, but please go listen to the other songs that we mentioned through this lens. Go check out Cam on What I Will Say, her analysis. And you have to subscribe to Cam's What I Will Say Patreon. I listen to every single episode that you put out the day you put it out. So much about Taylor Swift. And I just feel like, as much as sometimes I get irritated by there being too much Taylor Swift, like, I'm still a sucker for it. So what can I say? Like, I'm just intrigued. And I'm not going to say what we've been talking about the past couple of days, but we have been kicking back some tea and some resources re-Taylor Swift lately. That just have me saying the next couple of months, Taylor Swift gossip wise, there's going to be a lot coming out. So for anybody who's interested in that, you can keep it here for both of us.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we're going to have a new project. I'm already kicking around the title Project Dive Bar on my Patreon.
Oh,
so like, yeah.
Oh, that's,
we're going to have some fun. I don't even know if I call it fun, but we're going to have something. We're going to have some times.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. Well, Cam, thank you so much for coming on. Your analysis of all of this is incredible. The work that you, and shout out to Tilly Nation, put together for all of this is really just fascinating. So I hope everyone have some fun, like, Google around after this. I love a new internet rabbit hole to dive down, and keep it here and for What I Will Say Nation for everything going on. So Cam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking to you.
Love it too. And go check out our episode on Travis that we're going to do for Cam's. And we will see you guys next week for another episode of Fluently Forward. Bye, guys.